Good evening. It's good to see everyone here tonight. Appreciate your strong attendance to this meeting. I know some of you have given some, made some special arrangements to be here this week, and I appreciate all that you've been doing to be here this week and to bring others with you. I appreciate that. I appreciate the visitors that we have with us from time to time, and this the ones we have tonight. We've been talking about our faith, how important it is, as the most important thing, the most precious thing that we possess as children of God, is our faith. And we've been looking at some things, that ways that Satan is trying to take that faith away from us, which I've called foes of our faith, or enemies of our faith. And this evening in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, John says, "And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." He says that this is the thing that we need to overcome the world, the thing that we need to overcome its influences, its temptations, and its condemnation. He says we can do that by our faith. Faith is a victory that allows us to overcome. As Paul told the Ephesian brethren in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, he says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." The faith that saves us through grace, we can see how important our faith is. And Satan will do anything he can to destroy it. And Satan is described in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. He says, "Your adversary, the devil, walks about as like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." That's his purpose. He's trying to devour us, in our faith in particular, because he doesn't want us to overcome the world. He wants the world to influence us, to overcome us. He wants us to fail. Jesus said, Jesus loves these people with little faith, little faith does little good. Let me just put it that way. We've been looking at statements that Jesus made to his disciples at times, that they exhibited this little faith. At times when their faith should have been stronger than it was. He fed 4,000 people. He fed 5,000 people with just a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish. And they worried because they didn't bring food, as we read in our reading this evening. That Jesus somehow has lost the ability to produce food, and they worry about it. We saw earlier in the week about Peter walking on the water. He was doing fine until he started to doubt Jesus. He was walking on the water by the power of Jesus, and when the doubts come, when he looked at the winds and the waves and took his focus off our Lord, he began to sink. He began to doubt. It shouldn't have been a matter of faith. It was happening right at the very time. And when he doubted, his faith began to cease. Today I'd like to look at the last of Jesus' statements, "O ye of little faith," in Matthew chapter 16, verses 5 through 12. It was read this evening. What's the problem here? As you look at that passage, what was the problem that the disciples saw? The disciples saw that their problem that they were looking at was, "We don't have any food. We don't have any bread, and the Lord's mad at us." Jesus, as he looked at the situation, Jesus looked at it as, "They don't understand. I'm not talking about bread. I'm not worried about food." Notice in verse 9 of Matthew chapter 16. In verse 9 he says, "Do you not yet understand? Neither remember the 5 loaves of fish and the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up?" And verse 11, he says, "How is it that you do not understand that I spake unto you not concerning the bread that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees?" Jesus was saying they were ignorant. They didn't understand. And of course, when you look at who he was talking to, well, of course they're ignorant. They're fishermen. They're not supposed to be smart people when it comes to other things other than fishing. But Jesus did not say that they were stupid. He said they just didn't understand. They were ignorant of what he was trying to tell them. And this is the fourth and last foe of our faith I'd like to look at this evening, and that being of ignorance. And again, by ignorance, I'm not talking about stupidity. They just didn't know what Jesus was talking about. They didn't understand. And Jesus says, because they had little faith. When we talk about ignorance this evening, I want us to get the definition. What we're talking about is we're not knowing, or we're not understanding something. That's the definition of ignorance that we're going to be looking at. We're not talking about people being stupid. Not at all. We're talking about people that don't understand something and they're unconcerned about it. They don't really care about it. They're willing to be ignorant in this matter. Now, all of us are ignorant at some times. In fact, we were all born this way. We were all born ignorant. We didn't understand anything when we were born, except this thing in the middle of my body. Boy, it's starting to hurt. And when this noise comes out of my mouth and tears come down my eyes, someone sticks something in my mouth and I start to feel real good. We didn't understand anything. We had to be taught things. And as things become important to us, we learn and we understand. Some things, though, we may never understand. I will never understand electricity, how you can take a piece of wire and just have it touch the ground and all of a sudden we can have lights and we can have projectors and all these things. I'll never understand. I don't understand how that goes. That's beyond my capability. Or sometimes cars. I used to work on cars and I can't understand them anymore. And some would say, well, you're ignorant of that, but does that make me stupid? I mean, I built a house. I know something about building. I know some things about plumbing. I know some things about the scriptures. I mean, I may be ignorant about some things, but am I stupid? Don't answer that, by the way. But I do know something about that. But what's the difference between being stupid and being ignorant? The difference is there's no shame in being ignorant if you just don't understand. The shame comes when we remain ignorant about important matters in life and we just linger in that ignorance. If something is important to us, something that we need to understand, and we don't, and we just say, oh well, so what, and do nothing about it, this is bad. This is bad ignorance. This type of ignorance will destroy our souls when it comes to spiritual matters. Things we need to understand, things that our salvation will depend upon, and we just sit by in ignorance. This is bad. What Jesus was talking about here in Matthew chapter 16, the disciples needed to understand that Jesus can take care of his needs and theirs as well. But they needed to watch out for the doctrine of the Jews. That's what was important. That's what they were ignorant about. And Jesus clears up that ignorance. We see in verse 12. He says in verse 12, as he told them, he says, then they understood that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Jesus taught them and they understood. They were no longer ignorant of this fact. It's like all of a sudden in a house, if your water line breaks and you have no clue to fix it, what do? Do we just let it run and keep running and destroy the house? That's stupidity. Ignorance says, well, I don't know how to do this, but I'm going to find somebody that knows how to shut this water off. So you won't be ignorant very long. And that's the difference that we're going to be talking about this evening. This ignorance. As we may not know, we may not understand, but we cannot remain in that condition. When it comes to spiritual matters, many people would just rather be ignorant and do nothing about it. They say, oh, what I don't know won't hurt me. They take this type of an attitude. This attitude is no good. Jesus says people like this have little faith, and he's not happy about that. The problem in Matthew 16 is the disciples needed to beware of the doctrine of these false teachers, these Jews. And they weren't understanding what Jesus was trying to tell them. They thought he was talking about dinner. What's ironic about this is that the disciples didn't realize Jesus could make bread, but Satan did. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 4 when he was being tempted by Satan? In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 3, Satan knew Jesus could make bread. He showed him these stones and said, turn these stones into bread. Satan knew he could make food if he wanted to. But here at this particular time, his disciples didn't understand this. And Jesus called them men of little faith. Well, let's look at ignorance for a little bit this evening. And ask ourselves, why is ignorance so bad? What's the problem with being ignorant spiritually? I'd like to look at a few things this evening about this. Number one, ignorance keeps us from submitting to the will of God. Remember in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, Jesus said, he that does the will of my Father will enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, what's the problem there? They're calling Jesus Lord, Lord, but what's the problem? Jesus said, you're not doing the will of my Father. They're ignorant, and they are satisfied with that. They think they're smart, but Jesus says, you're ignorant. You're not doing the will of God. Do you remember in Romans chapter 10 and verse 1? We talk about when Paul talks about the ignorance of the Jews. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, let's look at how Paul taught about the ignorance of some of these Jews. He says in chapter 10 and verse 1, he says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God." Did you see what Paul is saying here? Verse number 1, Paul is saying he's concerned for the salvation of the Jews. He wants them to be saved. Verse 2, he says it's not that they aren't trying. He says they're very zealous for God. They want to please Him and they think they are pleasing Him. Well, what's the problem then? Verse 3, "But they're ignorant of His righteousness, what He deems to be righteous, and they're substituting their own righteousness in its place. And by doing that," Paul says, "they have not submitted to the will of God. They have never, and they will never be saved this way if they continue in this ignorance. Instead of listening to Jesus and apostles and getting the proper understanding, these Jews are rejecting that and they're doing their own will. They're doing what pleases them instead of what pleases God. And by doing this," Paul says, "they're ignorant. They're not submitting to God, what God calls righteousness. They're submitting their own righteousness." So ignorance will keep us from submitting to the will of God. But not only that, ignorance will alienate us from God as well. We'll become strangers to Him, not His sons and His daughters, but we'll be foreigners. Do you remember in Ephesians chapter 4? In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul was talking about the Gentiles, those that were not following God. Well, why aren't they? Notice in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Paul writes, "For this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened and being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart." Notice what Paul was talking about here. These people were ignorant. Why? Because their understanding was darkened. They didn't understand. And they were not doing anything about it. They blinded their hearts to God and His ways. And he says they're alienated. They're isolated from God because of it. It's not that they were stupid, but it's what they didn't understand, and they didn't want to understand the will of God. They blackened it out of their heart. They chose to do this. And by doing this, he says, they've been estranged from God, or they've been alienated from God. God doesn't know them. But Christians are better than this. Why do I say that? Look at verse 20. It says, "But ye have not so learned Christ." Talking to the Ephesian brethren. You've learned about Christ. You didn't act like these people did. We came to understand about God, and we were taught and we listened. We didn't block it out. We absorbed it all in. We are not like the ignorant Gentiles. But we are as His sons and His daughters. Ignorance will keep us from God. And not only that, ignorance will keep us in mediocrity. And that meaning not cold or hot. Do you remember in Revelation chapter 3, as John taught about the church at Laodicea, or it was revealed to him about the church at Laodicea, Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 and through 17, he says their faith was neither on fire, neither was it ice cold. It was somewhere in the middle. Notice what John writes. Revelation 3:14. "And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, The thing saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, and thou art neither cold nor hot. I were that you were cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." In Matthew chapter 16, chapter 6, and chapter 8, times when the disciples should have had more faith than they did. They should have been able to anchor their souls in the faith of Jesus. Yet they worried about the physical things of life. They worried about the storms. They had times of doubt when they should have had strong faith, Jesus, that Jesus would take care of us, that He has the power. Instead, they worry. They fear. They doubt and they remain ignorant. Jesus said this type of faith makes him sick. Lukewarm faith, neither on fire and hot for him, but neither cold as well. Just enough to feel comfortable. We're better than those sinners over there. Well, we might not be as good as those righteous people over there, but we're right here in the middle. Jesus said that type of faith makes him sick. It's not enough to do anything of value to our faith, that kind of mediocre of faith. People sit and complain that nothing is being done, yet they won't lift a finger to help. Jesus says this kind of faith makes me sick to my stomach. Ignorance will keep us this way. It'll keep us in mediocrity. And not only that, in the same context though, our ignorance will keep us unaware of the real situation in life. Here in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 16, this mediocrity faith, or this ignorance of some things that they didn't understand. Jesus says, notice what their lukewarmness was doing to them. In verse 17 it says it was blinding them to the fact that they were wretched, they were distressed, they were miserable, they were poor, they were blind, and they were naked. They were thinking they were all right in God's sight. They weren't realizing what was really going on in their lives. It was making them unaware of how they really were in the sight of God. It was blinding them to the fact that they were thinking they were great, that God must be proud of us. And yet, in reality, Jesus wanted to spit them out of His mouth. In verse 18 of Revelation chapter 3, John writes, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, and thou mayest be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. This is the reality Jesus is talking about. Their ignorance kept them aware of the real situation that they were in. And remaining in ignorance is bad for us spiritually. No good comes out of remaining ignorant about important spiritual matters. We've got to seek to understand, to find out the meaning. It's vital to our salvation that we have to know. So these are some things why it's so bad, what ignorance does for us as a child of God. Let's look for a few minutes now at some of the causes of ignorance. What are some things that cause people to be that way? Number one, I'd like to suggest by ignoring instructions. Here's some teaching on the matter. Here's some things to help us to understand this, and we choose not to just to ignore it. Do you remember in Proverbs chapter 1? In Proverbs chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, it's talking about wisdom. About the wisdom of God and how we can benefit from God's wisdom, from learning about God and His Word. Notice in verse 23, it says, in Proverbs chapter 1, he says, "Turn to my rebuke, surely I will pour out my spirit on you, and I will make my words known unto you. Because I have called you, you refused, and I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes, like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you." Verse 28. "Then they will call on me and I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would have none of my counsel and despise my rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without the fear of evil." Wisdom says in verse 23 that I will make my words known unto you. I will explain the things to you so you will understand. Verse 33, he says, "Listen to me, and you'll dwell safely. You'll be secure without the fear of evil." But what's the problem? Verse 24, "But you've refused. You've neglected my counsel." Verse 29, "They hated knowledge. They didn't want to know." Verse 30, "You would have none of my counsel." We see all these in verses 26 through 33, the bad things that will happen to you when we remain ignorant of God's Word. Terror will come like a storm, your destruction like a whirlwind, distress and anguish. They will seek me but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. People who ignore teaching and instruction will be ignorant, foolish in the eyes of God, and will suffer destruction. But not only that does ignorance cause us to ignore instruction, it causes us to be wise in our own eyes. We won't heed the wisdom from God because we know it all. They became so wise in their own eyes that they would not listen to those who really know. It's comical sometimes when we teach our children or we watch our children. They're so sure that they know what they're doing. They won't listen to us, and when you try to tell them that what they're doing is all wrong, it's just not going to work. They tell us, "Dad, I know what I'm doing." And you sit back and you watch. And they're working and they're working and they're working and it's not working. And it fails. And we laugh and they cry. They think they're so wise. But it gets sadder and worse if they grow up that way. If they still have this same attitude, only now the stakes are higher. It may not be that bicycle or tricycle or little wagon they're trying to fix. Now it's a car. A desperately needed car for the family to survive. Or it's not that cardboard box anymore. Now it's a house. The stakes are considerably higher if failure comes. And in the spiritual realm, the same attitude is disaster. It means damnation. It means our souls are lost forever. When we think that we know it all, that we don't need counsel, that we don't need a direction from God, that we can remain ignorant. Do you remember what Paul said in Romans chapter 11? When he was talking about believers being grafted into the true vine, meaning the Gentiles. And it didn't matter if they were Jews or Gentiles. And also he talked about the unbelievers being cut off. The believers being grafted in and the unbelievers being cut off. Just because you're attached to this vine, Paul says, doesn't mean you're always going to be attached to this vine. It depends upon your belief and your unbelief. And notice in Romans chapter 11, notice what he says in verse 25. He says, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, and that the blindness in part is happened to Israel unto the fullness of the Gentiles, until the fullness of the Gentiles come in." What did Paul say their ignorance would do for them? It would make them wise in their own conceits. We think we know it all. He says it will blind you to the truth. This feeling of once saved, always saved is not true. Do not gloat over the fact that you're saved now, because Paul says you can lose that. Will we accept the teaching of Paul from the wisdom of God? Or will we ignore it and be ignorant? Will we think that we know it all when it comes to our spiritual lives? Look over a few more passages in Romans chapter 12 and notice verse 3. We think we know it all. Paul says, "For this I say, through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." We think we know it all. Our faith is in trouble. We're going to remain ignorant of the ways of God, and it's going to ruin our faith. Also, another thing that some of the causes of ignorance is that it will cause us to pursue our personal passions. What feels right to me? What pleases me? Do you remember in Proverbs chapter 14 of Solomon, what Solomon said there? Proverbs 14 and verse 12. When it comes to this feeling, it just feels right to me, so it must be right. What did Solomon say? Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. Solomon says, "There is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death." People that think what's right, if it feels right to me, this pleases me, and I'll pursue these passions, that everything will be okay. But it's a part of ignorance. Now, I've heard this statement of these things. I've seen this happen, not to just unbelievers, but to Christians as well. Christians as well do this. They seek after things that please them, much to their own destruction. They think that these things will please God, and they won't, because they're not based upon the wisdom of His Word. They're based upon what feels right to me, these personal passions that they have. Do you remember what Peter said about this in 2 Peter chapter 2? In 2 Peter chapter 2, notice verses 12 through 15. Peter writes, "But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not. And they shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls at heart, they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and have gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness." Do you see what Peter said here? He said, here's some people that don't understand, verse 12. They're ignorant. Instead of seeking understanding, what do? They speak evil of those that understand. They speak evil of them. They mock them. They make fun of them. They don't understand it, but they don't want to know what it has to say. Verse 13, they gather with other ignorant people, people who are just as deceived as they are. And they party with them, and they think, this is great, everything is fine. Verse 14, he says, they have trained their hearts in wickedness. Not good things, but in evil things they've trained their heart. And verse 15, he says, they have forsaken the right way, and they have gone astray. They've only cared about what makes them feel good. That this seems right to me. And it's why many people never seek the Lord, because they never feel the need to serve God. They say, I don't need God in my life. When I have problems, and make a mess of my life, then I will need Him, and then I will go to Him. But then it will be too late. When all we are is concerned about the things that make us happy, that feel right to me, ignorance is going to set in, and our faith will be in trouble. Let's look at one more thing. What causes us to be ignorant is, and that is, a hard heart. A hard heart will cause us to be ignorant. A heart that's callous to do the right things. We will reject wise counsel so much that our hearts will be calloused. It will be like hard-working hands. You know, when you work in the yard for a long time and your hands become calloused, and you can pick yourself with a pin or something, you won't even feel it. The Bible says that's what it will be like with a hard heart based upon ignorance. God's Word and His wisdom will not be able to penetrate. You remember what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 18 about this hard heart. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, he says, "Having an understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work out all uncleanness with greediness." This deal about past feeling. They don't have feelings. Their hearts are calloused. Their hearts have been darkened. Their heart is blinded. They're dull of feeling. And they would not believe. They've turned away from godly teaching so much that it cannot penetrate their hearts anymore. They will not allow it to. Remember in Matthew chapter 19 when Jesus taught about some people that had some hard hearts? The children of Israel. God's people. Well, it's supposed to be God's people. Jesus said they had hard hearts. Listen to what he said in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 8. "And he said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives from the beginning. it was not so. They were wanting to divorce their wives. They were ignorant of God's will. They didn't care. Jesus said they had hard hearts. They set on doing what pleased themselves and not God. Jesus said they had hard hearts. In Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, Jesus said there were some Jews there that had some hard hearts. Notice what he said in Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And he entered into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, that they might accuse him. And he said unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth. And he said, and he saith unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath, or to do evil, to save a life, or to kill? But they held their peace. Verse 5. And when he had looked around about them with an anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto the man, Stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. Here were people that were ignorant of who Jesus was. They could not recognize his goodness when it hit him right in the face. They didn't care. All they knew that was he was violating their sacred law. He was working on the Sabbath. Who cares if he was able to make a man whole again? Who cares? It didn't matter. Their hearts were hardened and they sought to have him killed. Their ignorance of who Jesus was because of their hard hearts. Even Jesus' own disciples, after his resurrection in Mark chapter 16, they had hard hearts as well. And Jesus was not very happy about it. In Mark chapter 16, notice in verse 9, this is after Jesus' resurrection. He says, Now when Jesus had risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, of whom he had cast out seven devils. And when she went and told them she had been with him, they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. Verse 12, And after he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the residue, neither believed they them. And afterwards he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Jesus was not very happy about that. They refused to believe Mary Magdalene when she told them that Jesus is alive. They refused to believe two other witnesses that came and said, We saw the Master. Jesus says in verse 14 that their hearts were hardened. They failed to understand what was going on here. And instead of believing, they hardened their hearts and they would not believe no matter who told them that Jesus was alive. They refused to believe. Their hearts were hardened and remained ignorant until Jesus himself appeared to them in the flesh alive. Now, Jesus was not very happy with their hardened hearts here. In the passage we looked at earlier in Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, remember, the Jews were ignorant of God's righteousness and they sought to have their own. Their understanding was darkened. They would not believe and their hearts were hardened, Paul said. And they did not do the will of God. They continued in their ignorance and it caused them all not to do the right thing in the eyes of God. Having hard hearts, calloused by sin and evil practices, will destroy our faith. And Satan knows it. One other thing that will cause us to be ignorant is when we focus upon the physical and not the spiritual. These things will cause us to be ignorant. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus' disciples were only thinking about dinner. We're thinking about food, the physical bread. Jesus is trying to get them to understand some spiritual concept about the Jews, and they're only thinking about food. He's mad because we didn't bring bread. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul was talking about the ignorance of some men as well. Here he was talking about the ignorance of the Jewish rulers. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, notice what he said about their ignorance. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, notice in verses 7 and 8. He writes, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden things, hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord." It's talking about the ignorance of the wisdom of God concerning Jesus, His Son. They killed Him because of ignorance. But Paul says, we apostles, we're not ignorant. Because notice in verse 12 of this same passage, he says, "Now we have received not the Spirit of the Word, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." The Jews were ignorant of Jesus Christ and they crucified Him, but Paul says, we're not like them. We've accepted the instruction from the Spirit of God. We learned, and we did not ignore His teachings. We learned them. But notice verse 14, the worldly man. It says, "But the natural man," or the worldly man, "receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can they know them, because they are spiritually discerned." He talks about this natural man, this worldly man, this man who has the spirit of the world in him. They will not listen to the wisdom and the teachings of God. They think it's foolishness because they're spiritually discerned. These are people that he defines or describes in verse 12 of the same chapter, who listen to what man teaches. They think the teachings of God are foolishness and they don't understand them. But when they only focus on the physical realm, the physical things, we will be ignorant of God's ways. The ways that matter most in this life are those from God. Seeking the only physical things in life, we will not accept the things of God. And people say, and they won't understand nor accept them. They will remain ignorant because they're focusing on the wrong thing. Folks, ignorance is a serious matter. It's not to be taken lightly. It causes all kinds of problems for the children of God, and ultimately will condemn our souls to hell if we continue in it. But we can overcome it. We can overcome this ignorance. But how can we be sure that we can overcome this? How can we get rid of it if it's in our lives? Let me offer a few suggestions to us before we close this evening. Number one, we can overcome ignorance by never being satisfied with it. Too many times we think ignorance is all right. Ignorance is bliss. What I don't know won't hurt me. Well, it will. When we get to thinking that I know enough, I don't have to study that much, I'm satisfied where I am spiritually, our souls are in danger. Our faith is in danger when we think like this. When Bible study becomes just a homework assignment, just fill in the blanks or circle the right answer, and this is the extent of our studies, we will remain ignorant. We won't understand the true principles of godly living, what living righteously in the sight of God really means. Instead, let us be like the psalmist said in the 119th Psalm and verse 47. He said, I love thy commandments, Lord. Look at what he says, 119th Psalm. And verse 47. May we be like this. He says, "And I will delight myself in the commandments which I have loved." Do we love God's commandments that much? Do we have this type of an attitude? If we love something, how much time will we spend in it or with it? How much time will we spend doing it? How much time do we spend studying the Scriptures and the commandments of God? How much time do we spend in His Word and apply it? There's a direct connection to the obedience to God's will and our love for Him. John tells us in John chapter 14 and verse 23 that we can't say that we love the Lord if we obey not His commandments. Words mean nothing to God without action. Jesus says, "Show me. You love me, show me. Do my commandments." We cannot be satisfied with ignorance because it'll destroy our faith. We have to strive to understand more. Don't just ignore things that we don't understand. We need to find the answer, which brings us to our next point. If we don't know the answer to something, just ask. Ask someone to find the answer. You're having a problem understanding something. Can you help me find the answer to this? I don't understand this. What did Paul mean by this? Or what did Jesus mean by this? And if they can't help you, take them along and go find somebody that can. until you can find somebody that can explain to you, that make you to understand what this Scripture is saying. And what have you got there when you do that? You've got a Bible study. You've got people that are helping you to understand God's Word. And there's nothing wrong with that. We need to ask people, help me to understand this, that I might not be ignorant anymore. Do you remember in Mark chapter 9? Jesus told His disciples the truth, but they didn't understand what He was telling them. But notice their reaction. Mark chapter 9. Let's look in verse 30 through 32. Mark chapter 9, verse 30 through 32. It says, "And as they departed thence and passed through Galilee, He would not that any man should know it. For He taught His disciples and said unto them, The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill Him. And after that He is killed, He will rise the third day." Verse 32, "But they understood not that saying, and were afraid to ask Him." They didn't understand, it says, and they were afraid to ask Jesus about this. They remained ignorant, so to speak. They were so needless of that. Jesus was here, they didn't understand. Jesus explained this to us, but they were afraid to ask Him. Do you remember how much this ignorance cost them later on? Because they didn't understand that Jesus was to die on the cross and be raised to life 3 days later, because they didn't understand this and wouldn't ask Jesus what this meant, they remained ignorant. And that's why they acted the way they did in Matthew chapter 26. Do you remember? That's when Peter began to fight. That's when they all fled in fear. They didn't understand that this was a part of God's plan. They didn't ask Jesus to explain what He said to them, and they suffered needlessly. They were running for their lives. Because of this ignorance, that's why Peter went to the courtyard to see what was to become of Jesus, where he denied Him 3 times that we see in Matthew chapter 27. He didn't understand that this was a part of God's plan, and he didn't ask his Lord. And he denied the Lord 3 times. This ignorance is why the disciples locked themselves in the upper room. They were frightened and afraid days after Jesus' crucifixion. In John chapter 20, they didn't understand and they wouldn't ask the Lord. All this needless anxiety, the troubles they had in life, because they were ignorant of a statement that Jesus made to them, and they didn't ask. They had little faith. If only they would have asked Jesus to explain Himself. "Jesus, what do you mean by this? All this trouble could have been avoided. Look at how these events would have been different, more meaningful in the way of God's eternal plan that was unfolding before their eyes, if they would have understood when Jesus said, 'I've got to be crucified.' If they would have understood in the garden that this is all a part of God's plan. This is God's plan now unfolding before our eyes. They're going to take Him and they're going to crucify Him. But He will rise the third day." If they would have understood that, if they would have just asked Jesus, "Explain that to us, Jesus, that we can understand and we can know," that we wouldn't have to run away. I wouldn't have had to deny You, Lord. We wouldn't be afraid as we were in that upper room. But they were afraid to ask. O ye of little faith. If we're ignorant about some spiritual matter, ask someone to explain it. It may take 2 or 3 people to find someone that can, but keep going until you do, that we won't be ignorant of what God wants us to do, what God wants us to be in this life. Don't remain ignorant or ever be satisfied with it, because ignorance will destroy our faith. And not only that, to overcome ignorance, we need to focus upon the heavenly things, the spiritual things, the things that really matter in life. We need to focus upon God, where He is and who He is and what He means to His children. Do you remember how Paul defined or described this idea in Colossians chapter 3? Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Actually, let's go 1 and 3. Colossians chapter 3. Verses 1 through 3. It says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on the things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. He says, seek these things which are above. Christ, who is our life. He's the reason for our living, he says in verse 4. He says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Jesus, who is our life, he's the reason for us living. Seek and look for those things above. Do you remember how Paul, when he was talking to the people in Athens in Acts chapter 17, he was explaining to them about this unknown God? Do you remember how he described him in Acts chapter 17? Let's notice in verse 25. Acts chapter 17 and verse 25. This unknown God that these people were ignorantly worshiping. He says, neither, talking about, let's pick up in verse 24. He says, or let's pick up actually in 22. We'll get the whole context, sorry. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill, verse 22, and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. And God made him, God that made the world and all the things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Verse 25. Neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing that he giveth to all life and breath and all things. Focus on the heavenly things. Focus upon God, this God who gives life and breath to all things. It's this same God, in verse, he says in verse 28, in which we live. For he says in verse 28, for in him, in this God that you ignorantly worship, for in him we live and move and have our being. As certain as also your poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Paul says we live by God. We move and we have our being. God is everything to us. If we'll dwell on him, and focus in him and his ways, we'll be able to overcome our ignorance. Do you remember what Paul told the Philippian brethren, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8? Focus on these things. Focus on things that are true. Focus on things that are honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report. Focus on these. Think about on these things. These are things that will help us to overcome ignorance. Things that we know that are true. Things that we know are honest. Things that we know are just and pure. Dwell on these things that we know. Things that really matter in this life. Things that will build up our faith and not tear it down. And lastly, one other thing that we can do to overcome our ignorance is to be in the Word. Romans chapter 10 verse 17 talks about the Word of God that produces faith. It's only in the world, in the Word, excuse me. When we study with the idea of understanding what we need, not just to fill a quota for the day or the month or the week, but study with understanding, understanding that comes from the Word of God. The Word of God that produces faith. And only the Word of God. This is the only place we're going to get it. We need to seek, we need to ask, we need to find the answers. They're there, and it's the only way that we're going to increase our faith. And then we need to put them into practice and apply the things that we have learned. I remember as a young Christian, I came across James 1:25. I was ignorant as a babe was. I didn't know a lot of things of the Scriptures. And I took this verse literally. James says in James chapter 1 and verse 25, to visit the widows and the orphans and in their distress. And that's what I did. I saw that and I said, I'm going to do that. And we had some widows in our congregation, and I went and visited them. I thought, this is what God wants me to do. God said, visit them. That's pure religion. And I did. Now I understand a little more. That wasn't all that God was wanting us to do in that verse. But as I visited with those widows, we had a relationship that I treasure. They treated me as their son, and I looked to them as my mother. And they treated me as such. Always had a good word for me, always had a smile for me. When I came to visit them, they always were treating me good, giving me something to eat, something to drink. I mean, I was a babe. I was ignorant. But I learned. But I learned from the Word of God. Put into practice what I thought He meant. And what a fine relationship that we had together. But folks, overcoming ignorance will not happen unless we get in the Word. Really study it. What did Jesus mean? What did Paul mean? What did Peter and John and the others? What did they mean? They wrote these words of Scripture so that we could understand, that we wouldn't be ignorant. Remember in Romans chapter 11 and verse 25, Paul said, "The reason I wrote these things," in chapter Romans 11, 25, he says, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of the mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, and the blindness of your part has happened to Israel in these things." But Paul says, "I wrote these things so that you would understand. Understand that Gentiles can be grafted in because of their faith, and the disobedient would be cut off." You need to understand these things. These are things that we're going to have to understand as God's children. Important things for our faith. And Paul said, "I wrote these things so you wouldn't be ignorant." Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1 that we wouldn't be ignorant about these things. Just because these forefathers, he says, followed in the wilderness. So let me just read it. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant, how that all your fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock which followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." Paul says, "I write these things that you won't be ignorant of this. That you remember these things. Just because these people did all these things, they followed after God, and they did, and they ate of this food, they drank of the water. But many of them were in unbelief. They were ignorant of God's ways." Paul says, "I'm writing these things that you not be ignorant and follow in their same steps." God was not happy with these people because of what they had done. Just because on the outside they appeared to be righteous doesn't mean that they are. With most of these people, Paul says God was not pleased. And Paul wrote that we would understand this, that we wouldn't remain ignorant of this fact. You remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1, Paul wrote that we wouldn't be ignorant of spiritual gifts. Says these spiritual gifts play an important role in the church, and we've got to learn how to use these gifts, how to handle these gifts. And he says, "I'm writing to you so you will know and not be ignorant of these things." In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, Paul said, "I wrote to you so you wouldn't be ignorant about those who have died." They didn't miss the resurrection. The resurrection is yet to come. And he says, "I wrote these things so you wouldn't be ignorant of those things." The apostles and the authors of the books of the Bible wrote these things so we wouldn't be ignorant. These things that are a matter of life and death for us. Life if we learn the lesson, death if we don't, if we remain ignorant. The salvation of our souls is too important to leave to chance. We need to know for certain what we must do. As we began this lesson in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, faith is our victory. Do not be ignorant of this fact. Satan doesn't like us to have strong faith. He doesn't like us to understand the mysteries of God. He would rather have us in the dark. He would rather have us ignorant, because ignorance is an enemy of our faith. It fools us into thinking that everything is okay when it's not. Folks, don't be fooled. God has a will for us, a way to go. And we must give in to it. We must surrender to it. We must know what that will is. Ignorance is what caused the Jewish leaders to crucify our Lord, Peter said in Acts chapter 3. It was because of our sins that He was on that cross. May we never be ignorant if that's the reason He came. Because we are sinners. Don't be ignorant of this fact. Understand what this means and make the necessary changes that we need to be made in our lives. Not to be known as ignorant fools, but we can be known as the children of God. Let me close with a passage from Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. Paul wrote to the brethren there, he says, "In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." God will no longer accept ignorance as a way to salvation. We must repent of the sins in our lives. And I ask us all here this evening, do you have sins in your life that you need to repent of? That you need to tell God you're sorry for and turn from its evil clutches? We're going to sing this song for your encouragement right now. If this is you, if this applies to you, please come forward as we stand and sing.